BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening! Hello and welcome everyone to part two of the BDNG Meets podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the education lead for the BDNG. And today I have great pleasure of introducing Suzanne Maloney, who is a very much patient voice for hidradenitis suppurativa, also known as HS. She's had HS since she's been 12 years old and she's on two podcasts for us today. So happy listening, everybody. So I think, Suzanne, it's time to move into our next part of this podcast. And we do know, obviously, that you've developed, based on this experience, wound care yourself. So can you just go right back to that little bit of that journey as well? And, you know, how you came across to develop the products that you have?
Yeah, so it was a huge challenge for me. I was getting incredibly frustrated with having to spend so much time cobbling things together at home for myself. And actually, the turning point for me was at my friend's hen party, where I was meeting my friend's mother-in-law, and I put out my hand to shake her hand, and the dressing I had in my armpit fell onto the floor. And, you know, this had happened to me a few other times. I've had dressings fall down the leg of my trousers and out of my, you know, out the bottom of my trousers. Yeah. I've had dressings fall out, but I've been able to kind of catch them. And then you're kind of waddling to the bathroom, you know, in this weird position with this weird walk to kind of try and keep it clenched in between your legs. And I was telling someone recently, because all women, or the majority of women, get periods, right? And they know like what it's like to be worried about leaking.
Period
leak. And that's something that I think everyone who gets periods can relate to. You know, you stand up and you ask someone, will you just check for me, please?
Yeah, true.
Have I had a leak? Everyone has experienced that. And that's what it's like. That kind of anxiety and worry is what it's like to live with HS, because you're always worried about, have I leaked onto something? Have I left a stain on the chair? Can someone see this stain through my clothes? Have I stayed in maybe my boyfriend's house and left a stain on the bed sheets? You know, it's kind of always there. It's crazy. And, you know, the dressing falling out at the hen party was kind of like, I have to do something. I'm just sick of living like this.
Yeah.
And I also started talking to other patients and found that this isn't just me, like this is a huge issue and patients are really at a loss about how to actually manage their wounds. And I did some research with surveying patients and found, you know, about 2/3 of patients need dressings for 6 months in a year or over 6 months. So that's half the year patients are doing dressing changes. And they do about 3 dressing changes per day. So that's probably 1 in the morning, 1 at some point throughout the day, and then 1 at nighttime. And a huge amount of patients, almost half of the patients that I surveyed, are using improvised dressings like sanitary napkins. Some are using adult nappies. Some of them are using kitchen paper. And some of them are even using like rags. And I used to actually bring kitchen paper with me on holidays. If we went on a family holiday, I used to pack 2 kitchen rolls. And I used to have a pair of boxer shorts that I would fold the kitchen roll over the gusset of the boxer shorts. So it was kind of sitting, part of the kitchen roll was sitting on each thigh and going through the gusset of my shorts. And that's how I used to manage my inner thighs. And like, it's just so, when you actually step back and think about it, it's so undignified. It's clever. It works.
Yeah, but it's not right, is it?
It's not right. And for, you know, and for young people, you know, who already have, a lot of HS patients already have issues with body image and self-confidence, then to be sticking sanitary napkins all over the place and using adult nappies, it just really highlighted the fact that nothing had ever really been done for HS patients. And Oh, it was so upsetting. Some of the responses to the surveys that I did were really eye-opening, because I've struggled with HS, but I was able to still go about my life to for the most part. You know, it set me back, and I had definitely, you know, months where I was recovering from surgery where I couldn't work or I couldn't participate in anything. But for the most part, I've had a reasonably good life. Okay. But there's patients that really haven't. And it's taken their ability to socialize, to work, to form relationships. And the majority of them in the survey were kind of talking about the worry of a leak, someone seeing their dressing falling out and someone seeing they can't use adhesives because it just damages their skin too much. They have to hide in the like toilet in work where they can actually lock the door, not a cubicle, you know, the kind of the disabled toilets where they can lock and they'll be in on their own and they have a mirror and they're spending a lot of time in the workplace tending to their lesions. And it's just having a huge impact on people's day-to-day life. It was found to be a really painful experience, just the wound care aspect. Almost every patient said it was painful to change their dressings. Almost every patient has experienced leaks. And, you know, 84%, so a lot of patients experience adhesive skin damage. And I think I'm not 100% sure, Tina, but I think I read somewhere that HS patients have more sensitive skin anyway, because of our whatever way we're made, because of our composition. But you might need to fact check that. But I think I heard that somewhere. So it makes sense if that is the case. So yeah, I started cobbling and tinkering around at home. And my idea was, I wanted to have a second skin that I could stick dressings to instead of my own skin. And so I started making different base layers or garments, in essence, where I was getting clothing and I was cutting holes in them. And I was trying to figure out, how can I attach the dressing to this piece of material instead of attaching it to my skin? So I took my ideas to our health service. There's a function in our health service that seeks out innovation, and I took it to them, and then they recommended that I talk to the University of Ireland in Galway, excuse me, because they were running a program. And I took my idea and my, I suppose, rough prototypes at this stage to them, and they in essence saw what I was trying to do, saw the need, and gave me some funding and mentorship and education to, I suppose, develop this into a real world product.
Fantastic.
So, that's a very summarized version of the story. But I suppose I was able to, after the program, I was able to secure some additional funding through grants and competitions, and also some investors, from angel investors in essence. And I was able to assemble a team. And I don't have a medical device background, so it was really important to find people who do and who are really, I suppose, knowledgeable about the wound care industry. So I was able to find some phenomenal people to come and join me. And together then we started to develop Hydrawear, which is our product. And it's a range of body conforming base layers that act as a second skin. It has panels with holes cut in the target treatment areas, and the patient puts that on, and it's a very snug, comfortable, soft material designed to in essence be a second skin. And the dressings we've developed are, we've two types. We've super absorbent dressings for the very heavy exudate, and then we have a super soft foam dressing for lower so I'd be wearing a super soft foam at the moment to because it's not gushing, but there's drainage coming, and I want protection and comfort and a cushion almost to kind of keep my lesion covered. And all of the dressings have a special backing on them that attaches to a fastener. It's in essence, to put it very simply, it acts like it's Velcro. Yeah. And so the dressing goes inside the base layer underneath the holes, and then the fastener attaches through the holes in the base layer to securely retain it in place. So you are attaching the dressing to the base layer instead of to your skin. So it's a very simple solution, but it's very effective. And what it means is you can apply your dressing very quickly. You can change your dressing really quickly, and you've no adhesives being used on the skin.
And it's very secure as well. I mean, it's just getting that confidence, like you said earlier, you know, the confidence of having that security even makes a difference. It's not all. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you've got the comfort, you've got the design there, but, you know, having that confidence as well in the product is really reassuring. So, Suzanne, an awful lot of people that are listening today will know about you and who you are and, you know, how you've developed Hydrawear as well. For those nurses that are interested in obtaining Hydrawear for the patients or maybe not familiar with the product, is there any links that you could advise nurses to have a wee look at?
Absolutely. So we've started working with a company called Medique in the UK, and they are available to discuss further if you need information. There's loads on their website. It's products.medique.co.uk/portfolio/Hydrawear. Or I think it might be easier if you Google Medique, M-E-D-I-Q, and Hydrawear. And, you know, Hydrawear is available on prescription and can be dispensed by a local pharmacy. But alternatively, it can be ordered through a home delivery service that that Medique are working with. So if you want more information, yeah, I would visit Medique's website.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think as well, you know, well, I love my Hydrawear box that I have. You know, I've got a local representative that came into the hospital, and I know they go to GPs as well. So they can talk you through the products, they can give you a couple of samples, and they can give you a prescriptive pad, you know, the measuring. So, you know, it's all there in one sort of box, which makes it a lot simpler when we're seeing patients in such a limited time. So, you know, it can be straightforward. So that's the other thing, you know, if people want to reach out to the local representative to come and visit them and talk them through the products as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be very, that would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. And also a great thing is, you know, when we do our BDNG face-to-face meetings, I know you're very active with that as well, Suzanne, and quite often you're a regular with us as well. So, you know, we are focusing now on having an HS specific day every year. We've got our HS subgroup with a very, very dynamic bunch of nurses in. So, you know, we're developing it all the time, the education. So again, you know, we have that when we do the face-to-face, usually yeah. Hydrawear are there to sort of educate nurses as well, which is all very positive. So you're inspirational, I have to say that, Suzanne. I mean, going through that journey, what you've talked us through, I mean, you've hit on some really good points there. You know, the time it takes to diagnose, the education side of things is so important, the pain, you know, it's really important for healthcare professionals to sort of assess the pain with HS patients as well, the psychological aspect, the itch, you know, the dressings, and also, you know, the surgery as well. That's a quick point I just want to ask before we end this podcast as well. We've talked about dressings, but what about the surgery? I mean, has that been quite slick for you? Did you get seen quite quickly by surgeons? I know we've got sometimes a delay, or when is the best time to go for surgery? Have you got any thoughts that you could let us know?
Yeah, so I suppose my first surgery was an emergency surgery. So that was just done at the hospital. My memory of it is very, it's kind of muddy. I don't remember the doctor. I just remember, and this is another point, I do remember a lot of medical students.
Right, yes, of course.
And I was, you know, basically face down in a bed. I just had a big surgery on my bum. And there's lots of these, you know, people kind of my own age, early 20s, coming in to look at my bum. And I remember just wanting to die. I was like, just the kind of ground just open up and swallow me, please. So that was the recovery from that. I was in the hospital system and I was in outpatients, I suppose, wound care. So I had to go. Oh, no, sorry. That time there was the community care nurse came to my home every day after that surgery. She came every day for probably a week or 2 weeks, and then she came every second day, and then she came every, you know, her frequency of visits was longer, or, you know, less, it was less frequent over time until I was healed. And then the next couple of surgeries, they were huge, and I actually had to go, I was brought to the wound center every day. So I used to, my poor mum, like, she used to have to drive me down to our community center every day, and I'd have the dressings done 9 times out of 10. By the time I've gotten back, and maybe we'd go for a bite to eat, we'd go for a sandwich. By the time I've gotten home, the dressings are halfway falling off anyway, because they were just, you know, wasn't working. And then for my later surgeries, some of them were stitched. I had a plastic surgeon do one, and he did a kind of a flap procedure, and so they were closed. And then other ones were just left completely open with no wound care at all. And the instruction was just have salt baths every day. And I was kind of horrified with that, because I had these huge gaping wounds in around my perianal area in particular. And I was like, how am I meant to leave the house if I want to go even for a walk, which was challenging enough anyway. Yeah. Still try to kind of do something. And at one point, I was literally just, I couldn't even dress myself. I was just wearing sheets. And I got those, you know, those pads for children who wet the bed. I put those sheets all over my bed. And so I would I'd sleep on them. And then when I got up, I was like walking around. I had to move home with my mother at that stage. And I was just walking around in a toga, in essence, that I made with sheets for myself. I couldn't even dress. But then I did, I suppose, start ordering some supplies that I remembered from my previous wound care nurses, like the gelling fibers and things like that. And I did try and just cobble things together myself. So a lot of HS patients are very inventive when it comes to dressings. And I probably just took it to the extreme here with what I'm doing. But it's, you know, Tina, it's something that had to be done, because no one else was really addressing the issue for HS. But post-surgical care is really varied. I had access to surgeries pretty quickly here. There are long waiting lists, in fairness. The emergency surgery was instant. I think I've had two gone in through the emergency department, and then other ones you are put on a waiting list. But while I was on the waiting list for one, for example, I was put on ertapenem, and that was to reduce the, that was actually the plastic surgeon did that. So I was actually, while I was on the waiting list, I was on ertapenem for, I think, maybe 6 weeks or something, six or eight weeks. I can't remember exactly how long it was, but I was having that. And then other times while I'm on a waiting list, I'd be put on the combination of clindamycin and rifampicin to try and just reduce that, that kind of inflammation, so the surgical site is smaller. Now, some of the surgical sites were huge and pretty awful, but some of them were improved by kind of by giving me strong antibiotics to reduce the inflammation in advance of surgery. I don't know what it's like in the UK in terms of waiting lists for surgeries, but I suppose that's the challenge that all the different health services are dealing with at the moment. And that's why effective wound care and pain management is even more important, because you can really help a patient by addressing these issues in primary care. You know, you don't have to say, oh, the surgeon can take care of that. Like, you can have a huge impact on your patient's quality of life by providing very fundamental things like pain counseling, and wound care provisions, and referrals to mental health, or even not even necessarily referring to mental health, but referring or suggesting they join the patient support group run by Angela, you know, because they meet every month. And so there is support for patients that can be hugely beneficial. So I would certainly be telling everyone to look at Angela. That's at the HS support UK and Ireland, and maybe you can add a link.
We can, and The great news is as well, she's actually going to be doing a podcast for us as well, because I know
Phenomenal.
She's so fantastic.
Yeah.
And also on that network, they've got a lot of good education as well, which we will promote through the BDNG as well. So it's definitely worthwhile having a look then. And that's great. Thank you so much for talking us through the surgery. And I think that's a really key message to get across, is the fact that, you know, some healthcare professionals feel a bit daunted, I would say is the word, by HS and, you know, not knowing enough. But I think we can strip it right down and provide that care 100%, you know, with the support, you know, the dressings, the pain management. You know, we can do all this. We can give advice on HS, you know, and then if we need to, we can work in a bigger multidisciplinary team as well, you know, involve, you know, some, I know some hospitals are really lucky, they have, you know, surgeons connected to their teams. Other hospitals not so lucky, and again, that can be really tricky. But, you know, we can involve different healthcare professionals. We don't have to deal with it all on our own, do we?
No, absolutely not.
And the biggest fact is we've got an expert right in front of us. It's the patient. The patient knows their, you know, their HS. And I think that's important as well. Treat the patient as the expert, because they know exactly what they're going through. They know exactly when they possibly will need further treatment, the treatment's working. And it's really important to listen to that patient in front of you as well.
Yeah.
So I want to say a massive, massive thank you, Suzanne, for today. You've really opened up, and we are really grateful for that. And, you know, a lot of listeners today will be listening, and you've given us some really fantastic tips on HS and what patients have to, you know, go through, but also that the education is improving, which is positive. And also fantastic what you have achieved. Not everybody, as you say, has done this, but you know what you've achieved with HydraWare and the patients. I mean, the patient feedback with HydraWare is absolutely fantastic, you know, and you've helped not only yourself, but helped so many others, which is so, so positive. I'd like to thank you. Have you got any other links you want to provide for us on this podcast? Is there anything else, Suzanne, that you need to say before we go today?
HS Ireland also has a great website that does, you know, lots of different kind of information and videos and things like that. If you ever need to learn how to talk about HS to your friends, family, things like that. And and obviously the BDNG have a wonderful consensus document on HS as well, or optimizing treatment for HS. And thank you for including HS in your agendas for your talks and for the dedicated HS day that we had last month. It was fantastic, and it was really great to see so many people show up for it. And that kind of warms the hearts, because I know that it's getting the attention that it deserves, and it can only lead to improved outcomes for patients, which is why we're all here at the end of the day. So thank you.
Oh no, thank you. And we will continue our mission definitely with HS. We're definitely driving it forward. So thank you very much again, Suzanne, and I hope today that everyone has enjoyed listening to these podcasts. And also, you know, we've got lots of key nuggets there for knowledge and helping our patients with HS. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website bdng.org.uk and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.